Hello everyone, welcome to Channels, the Nextflow podcast. My name is Phil Jules, I'm speaking to you from Sweden.
Hello everyone, I'm Marcel, I'm speaking to you from Brazil.
And my name is Chris, and I'm speaking to you from New Zealand.
The Nextflow community is always humming with activity. So today we're going to be chatting about a few of the latest things that have come across our Slack notifications to keep you up to date. So let's get on with channeling that Nextflow community buzz. First off for you today, sorry, I know I can't help it with the puns. It's just effortless with dad jokes.
let's be fair and start with fair.
Oh yeah. All right. Go on, Marcel, lead us out.
Okay. So hello everyone. If you follow the discussions we have on Slack and even the GitHub repository for Nextflow, you probably saw a recent feature that was committed to repository, and at some point in the Edge release, you're going to run into it. It's called FAIR, and there was a discussion about why FAIR, like what is this FAIR thing, why it's messing with the order of the output channels and so on. The thing is, there's a concept called fairness for multi-thread programming. And basically what happens by default is that when you give a channel to Nextflow, the order in the channel is going to be respected. A lot of tasks are going to start based on the elements of this channel in the right order. However, when it's passed to the operating system and either parallelization or not is happening, it may occur that one task is going to finish before the other. So it's up to the operating system to request the resources and the number of threads and all these things. So what happens in the end is that if you don't have an ID in a tuple to control which element you want to refer, it could occur that by the end, you're going to have a channel, an output channel, with elements in an order that is different from the order of the input channel. Sometimes it's fine, you have an ID to track them, but sometimes you don't. So now, if you really want the output channel to be in the same order as the input channel, we have a process directive. I mean, we will have at some point, it's already in the repository, but in the next release, we're going to have this FAIR process directive that tells the operating system to be fair in the way it allocates resources, CPU resources for these tasks. Thing is, it cannot be perfect. The process is going to be slightly slower because every task is going to be treated equally. So you get this fairness, but it's slow. If you have an ID to track, you don't mind, you don't care about that. It's fine. It's going to be faster because the operating system is going to allocate the resources the best way it can so that your task is finished. So that's the idea behind this FAIR and why it's called FAIR. It's be fair with the allocation of resources for every task of your process. So that's it.
That's pretty nice. This came out of a conversation on Slack, really, didn't it? We had is a question I feel like comes up quite often. Is often trips up beginners. You write down in your code, you've got the channel order, and you run it, and it doesn't work in the way you expect, and it can kind of really trip you up. But yeah, what was different this time is that actually resulted in a new feature in Nextflow. I think you said this, Marcel, but remind me again. Why is it called FAIR? I feel like we use that word a lot these days, but...
Yeah, you're right. So it's a concept in multi-thread programming. It's thread fairness. So let's say we have 10 tasks at the same time happening, like 10 instances of a process A. And it could happen that one of the tasks is going to take all the CPU power, finished, and then pass to the second one. It's going to take control of everything again. So in the end, you don't have a guarantee in the order in which the tasks are going to be executed. So by setting fair to true, you tell the operating system you want the resources to be fairly distributed among these threads. So, you know, like 10% of CPU for A, B, C, and so on. So that's why it's fair. It's not very intuitive, but
probably shouldn't start using it right away then, I guess, if it's basically less efficient, but it's a nice new feature.
The best way is to have like an ID for your channel. Like you have like your FASTQ files and you have your simple ID. So you don't care about the order because you have the ID to find the right one and they're in a tuple, so they are together in one thing. But if you are having like a chain of values and you don't have any ID and you want every one of them to have the same order, I don't think it's a common case, but the person who brought this issue wanted something simple like that. And then he was surprised that he was getting a different result. So if you have this specific case, you have the FAIR process directive, but I don't think it's going to be common. A lot of pipelines that I see, people have sample IDs and things like that to keep everything together.
Yeah. And on the topic of new features in Nextflow or new developments in Nextflow, the eagle-eyed amongst you may have noticed some stuff on the Nextflow repository recently. There was a new release, an edge release of Nextflow just a couple of days ago. This is the Nextflow repo, and you can see there's a new release, just a new edge release down here, 22.12.0-edge. So that's the December 2022 release. If you look really carefully on the latest commits on the README here on the homepage, you'll see that there's a little commit here with a crying face and a waving hand saying, adios DSL1. sure enough, it's finally happened. This is the release. This is the one where, I'm messing around with that. This is the one where DSL1 has gone. We've been talking about it for a long time. I mean, DSL2 was launched, what, years ago now, three, four years ago now. So DSL2 has been around a long time, but and you've been able to choose whether to run your pipelines as DSL1 or DSL2 that whole time. But now with the new release, it's gone. So I think it's all become as a bit of a rude wake-up call to some people like myself. I've been holding on to DSL1 and everything I've taught myself over the years, but it's time. but if you have a DSL1 pipeline, don't freak out, don't panic. The nice thing, of course, with Nextflow is it's got a really, really good versioning system. So you can define nxf_version, vr, as an environment variable, and then Nextflow will look at that environment variable and use the version of Nextflow that you specify. So if you want to run a DSL1 pipeline, it's not a problem. You just use a previous version of Nextflow and they'll carry on working fine. In fact, it's probably quite a good... I say this to people sometimes, if you really want the ultimate reproducibility, it's a good practice to be in. To you can do that in a single line when you launch a command, nxf version equals whatever, and then, you know, when you rerun it in the future, you can use the same version of Nextflow as well as the pipeline and the software, and then you get ultimate reproducibility. So yeah, you can still run DSL1 pipelines, but you won't be able to with new versions of Nextflow. So it's definitely time to switch. And you guys, you've been helping out quite a lot with the documentation, right? Because there's been some confusion the past year or so about parts of the documentation which are still lagging in DSL1. And can you tell us a little bit about what you've been working on?
Sure. I just wanted to give one example of how people can do what you just mentioned. I'm going to put in a banner here. So that's the line of command you write, a command line. So you just put nxf underline ver, the version, and the command line that you would use. And automatically, Nextflow is going to download the version you specified. And for that specific run, run that command line. If you just run Nextflow run again after that, it's going to use the version that is already installed in your computer, not the specific one. So it's very nice, as Phil said, just to write the every time you're going to run for reproducibility, remember the version you used. I also think it's important to mention that DSL2 was released like many, many years ago. And a while ago, it became the default. So you could still use one, but default it would be two. And now a few years later, we have DSL1 like really going out, right? You have to stick to a version. So it's something that for a long time we've been pushing this DSL2. For a long time we've been having documentation to tell people how they should port their pipelines. And I mean, DSL1 makes a lot of things simpler, more practical, and better. So if you have DSL2. So if you have a working Freudian DSL1, yeah, so if you have a DSL1 pipeline working, okay, it's working, it's fine. But if you want to write something, it's much better to start in DSL2. And it was very easy, like to answer your question, to work in the documentation. A lot of things were really easy to fix because it's just like we don't have to explicitly say a lot of things anymore. We can use channels multiple times if you want. So a lot of things are much easier now. The official documentation in the DSL2 part, we have very clearly what changed, how you can do things. And I think that right now the documentation is up to date with everything DSL2. It was a lot of work, a lot of things that kept like, oh, I didn't see that. But now I think it's good. Both the training material and the official documentation.
I think it's going to be a lot less confusing as well, because we've had these two different languages for a while now, and often end up asking, oh, is that DSL1 or is... But now it's just going to be Nextflow. There is DSL2, I'm hoping, is not going to be a thing anymore. It's just going to be Nextflow. It should be a lot clearer.
I think it'll really reduce the amount of confusion, sort of even through the Slack channels where people are asking questions and we're sort of having to backtrack to understand what the actual question means and what language they're trying to write. Because for a long time there's still a lot of questions coming from DSL-1. And I think that improving the documentation and the training material definitely is going to help this, because we're just sticking to the one version now. So everything will be easy for people to learn, and we're not trying to sort of maintain and manage these two languages at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think it's very nice. I mean, that's why I love NF Core. Like when I tell you, like, you know, DSL-2, you can have modules, you can have all these amazing things. And I think a lot of people would reply, yeah, but where are these amazing things? I can do that, but okay, I can create modules. Where are they? And when you look at NF Core, we have like hundreds, like over 700 modules, I think, right? So it's like, use DSL-2, not only because you can create modules, you already have almost 1,000 modules. Almost any famous bioinformatics tool is already there. A lot of sub workflows. And if you have a pipeline in DSL-2, you can very easily plug all them in your pipeline. If you are with DSL-1, I'm sorry.
And sub workflows, right? We said that, we talked about that in the last episode now. Sub workflows, chunks of workflow.
That's amazing.
Right. Let's move on. I'm sure that everyone's probably sick of hearing about this by now, but I still think it's fun. My Twitter feeds certainly have been flooded with things about ChatGPT and all of this kind of AI, ML, machine learning kind of wizardry that's going on at the moment. And there's a couple of things that came up and just made me laugh. I think one of my favorites, it's kind of, you know, we all have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Nextflow sometimes. And and here we've got... Can't click the right button, sorry. We've got Dr. Andrew Lonsdale on Twitter, who tweeted this. I thought it was great. He asked ChatGPT, write a song about Nextflow using New Love, New York, I Love You, But You're Bringing Me Down as a template. I don't know how many other people listen to LCD Sound System. I've had this song in my head for like 2 weeks after seeing this tweet. but it's a work of beauty. If you're listening to this on the audio, we'll drop the link on the Nextflow webpage. But it comes together pretty beautiful. You know, Nextflow, I love you, but you're bringing me down. I thought it's going to strike a chord with some people in the audience there. How about you guys? Have you seen anything come up with ChatGPT or anything else like that lately?
Yeah, that was this very funny thing. Like, I think a lot of amazing things you can do with ChatGPT. But the thing, I think one of the things that I think is the most troublesome is that it's so good in a few things that when it's bad in others and you don't know, you know, you don't know. So for example, this one, the person asked about a common situation that in his mind would exist, or her mind, that you have to sync files between processes in Nextflow. So he asked the question to ChatGPT. And ChatGPT said, yeah, sure, you have to sync the files and so on. Otherwise, you cannot do that. And here's an example of code in Nextflow that does that. And I mean, it's clearly wrong because you don't have to sync anything. Nextflow does everything for you. But the funniest thing is that the code is wrong. So if you know Nextflow, you know that comments are done with 2 slashes. It's not with the symbol, with the hash. So even the comments are wrong. So in a lot of some other languages, I've seen that every once in a while, ChatGPT will insert Python code or Python things inside the code of another language. And here you can see these are comments in Python. They're not comments in ChatGPT.
And the text is so confident, isn't it? It's so convincing. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, that's definitely a problem. This is why it happens, you know. And you're like reading it going like, hang on a minute. That's rubbish.
So like, not the first time that ChatGPT would be talking nonsense, right?
pretty good. Chris, you got anything for us?
I was going to talk about the image generation, which I think is another application of AI, which is really, really exciting, but also a little bit terrifying. But while I was away with Evan in Australia last year, there's quite a bit of publicity about stability AI, which is, how do I describe this? So Stable Diffusion is a deep learning text-to-image model. And like I said, it was released in December last year. But it's primarily used to generate detailed images based on text descriptions. And it can be really, really detailed. And you can sort of say, do this in this style with this, you know, this particular style of painting. And then once you've generated that image, you can kind of like improve that image in different ways as well based on text prompts. And while we're away, Evan wrote this really cool pipeline based on Stability AI. In Nextflow, of course. it's sitting here on GitHub if you're following on the link. But it's really, really cool. And what he did was added this to, I'm just going to try and share my screen, added this to Tower. And what we could do with Tower is we could actually sort of add our text prompt and send this up to the AWS using some GPUs and actually generate these images. So if you're watching along, you can see this on my screen here.
But, what's that prompt say? What have you got?
Portrait of Barack Obama wearing a bow tie in a scenic environment by Eddie Granov. and what you can see is if we actually go to runs here and look at the most recent run, which I think is one that Evan's put through, and we go to reports, you can actually bring up these images and see what they look like. Oh, it's taking a while to load.
This is like the old days of modem internet.
Yeah, so this is my internet, not Tower or Nextflow or anything. This is I'm on rural internet, so I'm sorry it's a little bit slow.
This is the first time I've seen this, actually. We were chatting about this on Slack, but I haven't seen this in real life. No, I love this.
Gosh, internet here is so slow.
That's great. It's building the tension.
But as you can see, it creates these really, really fantastic images based on what you've actually input. I don't think we've got time to go to show all three images that were generated by this. But I think it's a really fantastic application of using AI and Nextflow, and in the situation Tower as well, where you can simply input using the Launchpad. You can have your inputs, your prompts, and generate these images really quickly and send it up to a cloud like AWS. So this is really, really cool, actually. I think it's one of the first applications of AI using Nextflow. I think it's something we are quite proud of as well.
Yeah, there's been kind of people kicking around ideas and stuff, but I haven't done anything myself. So anyone who's listening, by the way, Evan is the CEO of Sekura, who's our boss. another Kiwi. And so that pipeline's on GitHub. Does that mean just anyone can pick it up and run it themselves?
I think it is on GitHub. I'm not sure what the permissions are. I should check that for everyone. But yes, it's up there, and you can deploy this. You can deploy this locally as well, but unless you've got GPUs handy, it is very compute intensive and will take some time. But if you are using something like AWS and the GPU servers, it can be very, very quick, minutes rather than hours to sort of compute this.
All right. I know what I'm going to do when this podcast is over.
Okay, the GitHub repository is public. I just open with a private window. It's
fantastic.
Public.
Nice. Yeah, we'll drop that link on the podcast page so anyone else can. Do you need an API key or anything like that? I guess probably.
You do need to add some secrets from Hugging Face, but it's reasonably quick to set up and run. I mean, we did this in a couple of days, and we did a lot of playing at the same time, so I think it's very achievable. And I really encourage anyone to go away and have a wee look at it and we play.
That's cool.
This example you showed, like, how long did it take to?
Like 15 minutes, but that's because we were sort of requesting those resources. If we've already got that up and running, it's very, very quick.
I put in one example here, it's running, but maybe it's not going to be ready in time. I was like, next flow, snake make, and CWL, go to a bar.
We should have done this at the start of the episode and seen the results at the end, but maybe in the next episode we can flash up the results.
There's another mention of a good Nextflow feature, which is relatively new as well, which is secrets. Not everyone might be aware that that's something you can do natively in Nextflow now, and that goes through to Tower as well, which is really good for particularly this use case. It's very common of having software within your pipeline, which is proprietary, where you need an API key. But of course, you don't want to hard code your API key within the pipeline itself or within a config or whatever. So now Nextflow has a built-in secrets manager, which is just perfect for this kind of stuff. Also means that if you're using Tower in a team in a workspace, then someone can set up the secrets and then other people can run the workflows without having to have access to those secrets, which is also super cool. Anyway, sorry, Marcel, take us on. What have you got for us next?
So another interesting thing with AI. So you guys probably heard about OpenAI, which is behind ChatGPT. They also have a different model called Whisper, which is an automatic speech recognition system trained with like 700,000 hours. it's very, very, very good. You can know more about it in this link that is going to appear in the banner. So if you want more details about what it is, you can read there. And basically what it does is that you can give an audio file to it, and it's going to transcribe for you automatically. It works both in English and other languages. It's pretty good. There are many different pre-trained models so that you can get more accuracy, but it takes longer. And, you know, you have to program, you have to find this models things, you have to install some libraries, you have to create an environment. It's a bit of a hassle to make it work. And then we have this idea, why not create an actual pipeline that would make very straightforward for anyone to use and have a reproducible environment? So I did it. So this is a link to a proof of concept. So it's a Nextflow pipeline. I'm going to share my screen here. One second.
Such nerds. I love this. You're like, you could put this in the pipeline.
Why not?
Got to walk the walk.
Yeah. So basically what we have here is like a common situation where I have a YouTube video that I want to transcribe the audio. So this is a common situation we have because we have the bite-sized talks and we do transcripts for the bite-sized talk. So there are YouTube videos that we want to get the audio and do transcription. So we've been playing with a few tools, but this one is pretty good, Whisper.
Because we've mostly done that as a manual basis until now for like a year or so, right? We've just had people volunteer to sit down and write out the transcripts.
Yeah. And recently we've been using the automatic one done by YouTube, but it's so bad that you take like so long fixing it that sometimes it's better to do it manually. Mm. So like kudos to Francisca. She's been doing a lot of work with these transcriptions. So here it's like a normal way to run Nextflow. It's Nextflow run ANF, and then we give this parameter, which is YouTube URL. And then I choose the pre-trained model. I put Tiny here, which is the smallest one, but it's still pretty good. I use a specific one for English, which makes it even better for English. I want to use Docker, okay? And here it's you can use Wave. So it's not only working with Whisper here. I wanted to play with Wave and with Presume and with Docker and all these nice tools that Nextflow has. I didn't want just to run a basic pipeline. I wanted to do like all these things.
What's Wave? Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on. You're about to tell us. Yeah. I shouldn't interrupt.
Yeah, so Wave is this new feature, very, very nice, that you can use with Nextflow and with Tower. So the feature that I'm using here is that I don't want to build my own container image. I have my Docker file for every module because I have a few modules, okay? So I can show it here for you. I have my modules, which is the PyTube, which is going to download the YouTube video and extract the audio. And I have the Whisper module, who's going to do this transcript generation, right? So I have the Docker files for each of them. And I don't want to build the image. I don't want anyone who wants to use this to have to build the image. So what we can do is to say, run this with Wave. And Wave remotely is going to build on the fly this image for us and give it back. And then we can run this container. So with this NF Whisper pipeline that I created, you can build the if you go to the website, you're going to see the instructions there in the repository. You can either build your Docker image or you can ask Wave to do that. But in the end, what's going to happen here, because I gave the YouTube URL, it's going to download the video, extract the audio, run Whisper, and then print on your screen the transcription. So here's a very simple video, just a basic English conversation. It took like 1 minute. Another thing you can do is that maybe you already have the audio downloaded. You don't want to download anything. You don't want to extract. So instead of passing the parameter YouTube URL, you just say file. And then it's going to skip the first process, which is download and extract the audio. You're just going to run Whisper, and you're going to see here the output. So for the code, it's fairly simple. Basically, you have here the main script. I'm going to include these two modules with timestamp or not, because there are some parameters you can also give. You can give timestamp if you want to do transcriptions for other interesting things. You can have the time to import YouTube, for example. So you can give the timestamp parameter. It's going to give the timestamp for every part of the audio. The module you can choose, if it's a file or YouTube URL, you have some checks here, and the workflow block. So basically, that's it. It's a simple pipeline, but you have examples with Docker, with Wave, parameter setting. So even if you are learning Nextflow and you don't care about Whisper, it's still a nice pipeline to read and see how things are done using modules, including modules and so on.
Anyone who's just listening to the audio of this, I mean, the main script there is what, like 60 lines of code or something. It's pretty nice. And what I love about this is that this isn't just a theoretical exercise that you were doing this for. This is just because we genuinely need it. We're actually going to be using this on a weekly basis now for the NF Core bite-size talks, which is super cool. I'd never heard of Whisper actually, and he told me about this a few days ago. I'd never heard about it until then, and I checked out the Whisper website, which you sent, and they have some examples there. And the one I was blown away for was the Scottish accent, because, like, I went to UD with some friends from Glasgow and stuff, and it took me about 3 years to be able to understand what they were saying. Whisper seemed to do a pretty good job of it straight away.
I think it's really exciting as well, because it's an application outside of the traditional sort of life sciences that you might associate with Nextflow. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like with the Stable Diffusion and Whisper and things like this, I think what's become more and more common in the Nextflow world are these pipelines that are kind of sitting just outside what you'd expect for a pipeline. And with all the power of Nextflow and being able to implement, you know, these pipelines at scale and sort of have all these other directives and things to help control what's actually happening. I think we're going to see more and more of this, and I'm just really, really excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, once you're used to Nextflow and you've learned it, you sort of start to see, you start to see everything you can do with it. It's like, actually, this would fit really nicely. And I think we said in the last episode about the astronomy pipelines and training which are coming up, and we've got some other examples which we'll probably talk about in future episodes where this is starting to spring up all over the place. So it seems like this is the moment where Nextflow is starting to grow.
I think some people who are not very well versed with Nextflow, they could be watching this episode or maybe heard about this story about NF Whisper, like, oh come on, why did you use Nextflow for that? Just because you're always thinking about Nextflow. So the thing is, I made this in my local machine, it worked. If I want to run now in a cluster, it's extremely easy. Like, Nextflow is going to take care of that. If I want to use Conda instead of Docker, it's going to take care of that. Singularity, I'm going to run in the cloud, Amazon, AWS, Microsoft Azure. So that's the power of Nextflow, the portability, the scalability, the reproducibility. Everything is for free almost once it's working on my local machine.
I was just thinking, we should totally do that. We could set up in Tower to get to trigger the API, the hook in Tower based when there's a new Nextflow video in the bite-sized channel playlist, and it could automatically kick off a pipeline and give us a transcript. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, sorry, should not get carried away. I think we're running over a bit today, so we should probably wrap up before we get too carried away in other niche, cool use cases. Sorry, Chris, if I cut you off, you look like you're...
No, you're okay. I think... I'm good.
Cool. Let's wrap up. upcoming events, things on the radar. We've got the first bite-sized talk of 2023, which is going to be in a few days' time. That's on the 17th of January. So that's if you've not seen these are on the NF Core community. So if you go to the NF Core website, hit events, you'll see all the details. It's live streamed. Next talk is about the tax profiler pipeline. So that'll be really good, especially if you're interested in taxonomic profiling. It's a mouthful. and then the next big events we've got coming up are we've got the free Nextflow and NF Core training coming up in March. It's the second time we've run this. Last time we were absolutely blown away by how popular it was. I think I probably said this already, but I think we're expecting about 50 or 60 people. We got, what was it, like 800? So I'm curious to see how many we get this time. Also, this time, for the first time, we're going to try and run it in several languages. So if English isn't your first language, I think we can do Spanish, Portuguese, French, and am I forgetting any? German? Was there German? Maybe we weren't going to do German. I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, German, yeah. I think
check out the said
it, probably everyone speaks English, so no need for English in Germany.
There's going to be a bunch of German speakers on listening to this going, what? That's no fun. anyway, yeah, if you want it, come and ask. free training coming up, and then soon after that we've also got the online hackathon, which has got lots of local sites, but the registration for both of those is now open. So if you go and check out the NF Core website, you should find all the details. Please put your name down. Do it right now before you forget, and get signed up. It'd be great to get as many people involved as possible with that. Anything else, guys?
Nope, that's it.
Nope, I think that's a good summary of what's happening.
Yeah.
And
You're going to take the next episode by yourselves, right? This is my last one for a little while, so yeah. I get to listen to the next podcast to see how you guys do. Should be a bit fun. Great. All right. Thanks very much for tuning in, everybody. We'll hear from you very soon. Drop us a line on the Slack channel that we have on the Nextflow Slack. It's called Channels Podcast. We want to hear from you. We want to hear ideas for the things you've seen that come up, which are really cool, or any feedback about this. Please do drop us a line. And we'll hopefully see you next week.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Cool. So see you. Bye. Thank you.